from Studio 511. It's a 200 and what are we
67.
At? 67th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Abel.
What?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
The only thing you're worse Chris. Than one of you is three of you.
That's what's up. What the fuck? That's Chris. That's Arnold.
And that's Abel.
I'm Abel.
The one and only.
I'm Abel. If you're joining us live, thank you so much. We very much appreciate it. Make sure you hit the old subscribe button and turn on notifications. That way you know whenever we jump on every single time, get a little notification on your phone. If you are not watching us live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or just, you know, leave a comment right here in the old YouTube comments section. Now, if you're on live, log in right now, and I'm going to be pulling you up, and you could interact with us, you know, talk to us right here on the instant chat messenger, whatcha who's it's, and
that's exactly what it's called.
That's exactly what it's called. You could, you know, just say hi, ask us questions, talk shit,
keep fact busy. Check us.
It'll keep me busy. If I see you in the chat, I'll try to involve you in the show as best as I can, and it just makes it fun for everybody involved. So, run some stuff.
Ding. All right. New Jericho Pro Wrestling.
Wrestle
Kingdom 12.
Okay.
How much of it did you watch, Arnold?
I watched, I'm mathematically 40% of it. Yeah, I watched 4 out of 10 matches so far.
I think that's
what about you?
I think I'm around the same area.
I watched the Jericho Omega.
Of course.
I watched the Cody Ibushi. I watched the Young Bucks tag team match. I watched
Jay White against Tanahashi.
No,
I watched Okada versus Naito.
I watched part of that one. I guess by math, part of that and part of the junior heavyweight match. And that's it.
Okay. What about you, Sunshine?
I watched the four way. I watched Jay White versus Tanahashi, Jericho versus Omega. The main event, Okada vs. Naito, and I know I'm forgetting one.
The never open weight, I think you said you saw that one.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. No. Okay. What did you see? You saw all of it, didn't you?
I pretty much saw Erdang.
Erdang.
I fell asleep through a lot of it when we left last week recording. One in the morning was a Rumble, the opener. And then 2 in the morning, and it lasted until about 6:30 in the morning. No.
Yeah.
I was, because no more than one person can log on at the same time on the account. Mm. I was able to log on at like 7:30 or 8, and you were already off.
Oh, so, damn. Yeah. Like, you literally, like, right behind me.
Well, yeah. My wife had a medical procedure done, and so I, of course, took my phone so I could be watching wrestling while she's in the under the knife.
Yeah.
Hashtag support.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched that while she was in the – getting the stuff done medically, and I watched it. We couldn't get like somebody to watch Penny in the morning before.
Oh yeah.
So like she was asleep in the back seat while I was watching it on my phone, like propped up, and I was just while the car was on, just polluting the world. It was cold that day too.
Yeah. Geez.
So yeah, it was awesome.
What match do you guys want to start off with?
Well, I think the most relevant match, obviously, is Cody versus Jericho.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say Jericho versus Omega. That's the match everybody's talking about going into and coming out of.
1, 2, 3. The first word that popped into your mind after the match was over.
It was fun.
What about you, Alan?
Nice.
What about you?
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Why wow?
You took out Kenny Omega's strengths within the first 2 minutes of the match.
Okay.
Kenny Omega's a viper. He runs at 150 miles an hour. He's fast. The biggest worry we all had building up to this was Jericho, even at his best, is about 1,000 RPM shy of Omega.
Okay.
And right off the bat, the no DQ helped him out tremendously. Slowing him down, taking him to the outside, talking all this trash, sitting down, copping a break, you know. Mm-hmm. I've never seen Jericho in a match like this, where he's all, where it's like lay the SmackDown on PS1. Yeah, you know, where you're like all over the place, and he's soaking it up. He's like,
it was very Attitude Era.
He's teaching everyone in the locker room how a heel's supposed to be.
Yeah,
good lord, was that fun to watch?
Every old school heel tactic accentuated who he was in that audience, in that space, because like he was supposed to be the heel coming over and just, you know, but it was kind of weird because it was a little bit of like, oh, you think you're the top heel, Omega? I'm going to out-heel you and show you how a real heel does it. So it was a heel versus heel, and it was like two guys from Canada in Japan fighting for it.
For a US belt.
And it's like, technically, the Japan audience aren't supposed to like either guy.
And they like both.
But yeah, they like both, but I think they really started siding towards Omega.
Yeah.
Which is the guy that they're more familiar with as far as like who's there. So it was a very interesting dynamic, and given the dynamic, I thought the match was very well thought out. You know, they accentuated the positives, downplayed the negatives. You said it yourself. Jericho's probably a 1,000 RPM short of what Omega could do, you know, once he's redlining it. But you didn't have to redline it the entire time because of all the shenanigans, and the shenanigans were entertaining. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like – now, me and Abel had a discussion because there was one thing that bothered the shit out of me out of this match. It kept it from being a 10 to me. But after talking to – it was back to a 10. It was a no DQ match. Halfway through the match, there's the Walls of Jericho going on.
Mm-hmm.
Kenny Omega goes for the rope break. He goes, doesn't really get a rope break, but he goes outside the ring, whatever. So, whatever. So Jericho had to let go. We're like, he escaped it. Okay, cool. Later on in the match, it says there was no rope break, right?
Well, you have him backwards. You have him flip flop. First time he crawled over there, and hey, there's no rope break.
Oh yeah, so there's no rope break.
He was literally,
Beginning.
Yeah,
he was literally telling the ref Red Shoes, Uno, no DQ, stupid. Like he was literally bitching him out in front of 40,000 people.
Yeah.
God damn.
Which when they established that, it was like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So Omega had to go and get the can of aerosol, whatever it was, the hair dye.
Later on in the match,
towards the end,
there was a rope break.
Dude, Omega went to the ropes. He got in the rope. Jericho let go.
I was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, they fucked up. Whoever designed this match fucked up. And so then we were talking about it more. The rope break, but if, like, he didn't have to let go, right? If
I watched this match 3 times because of this. The way that I figured this out and the way I worked it out in my head to kind of justify what happened was that you can't lose via disqualification, but you can't win when you're in the rope. So, like, if you normally go to the rope and there's a rope break, the ref starts counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He hits 5, you're disqualified for not letting go. But here, you can't get disqualified, so there's no point in him counting, but if Omega in the ropes were to give up, it wouldn't count because it's the rope break. So you can't get disqualified. So you can't lose, but you also can't win that way. You can't win if your opponent's in the rope break. So that's kind of how I worked it out in my head. The other theory is the second time around when Jericho did it and Omega made it to the ropes and there was a rope break, I think it was like, maybe in the kayfabe of it all, you could say Jericho just forgot and by instinct, oh, fuck, he made it to the rope and let go. You know, and Jericho fucked up and not the people booking the match had the oversight of, oh, we did this before in the match and then we did it again, forgetting the rule. But
that's very nitpicky what we're talking
about.
It
is kind of nitpicky, but damn, it was a thorn in my ass.
Yeah, yeah. After the match,
up.
Yeah. That's what I kept thinking about. And I watched the match first and then I watched the match with him again. Yeah.
And then I watched the match with them too over there.
But while I was watching it, I could not wait for that part to happen. So that's when I went pause. Hey, let's talk about it right now. Because it was like, dude, what the fuck? You know, like, I really want to talk about it. Now that I talk about it, it's cool. I mean, it was fine. Dude, that Codebreaker was the best Codebreaker.
Oh, that Codebreaker was awesome.
Oh, man. He sold it fucking
After
fiercely.
Seeing Brian Kendrick have his orbital socket obliterated earlier in the week, I so totally thought, I was like, there goes another orbital socket. See Omega in like what, six
yeah.
months?
Yeah, because Omega doesn't crash down with Jericho and like he take the impact. Up. He like fish flops.
Yeah.
And like lifts his legs up so it looks like boom. Yeah. Like, just like a bottle of water just boom.
Yeah, it was fucking raw.
Nasty.
Yeah.
In a good way.
And then the old school Lion Tamer. Oh man, I marked out for that.
Yeah.
I love the Lion Tamer. Always hated the Walls of Jericho. I thought it was like, it's a shitty Boston Crab.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a Boston Crab.
Even then, it was like a too long of, I don't know. I never liked the way he executed it.
Okay.
The first person I ever saw use the Boston Crab was Rick Martel, random. And he did it badass. So.
Shout out to Rick Martel.
Yeah, I always, that was the bar. And yeah, he came over here. But that Lion Tamer was like, whoa. Damn, that was fucking badass. Those totes brutes.
Did that deserve to main event over Naito versus Okada?
Yes.
Retrospectively?
Oh.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to jump.
Yes, because I didn't even care about that match after that. Like, I didn't care what was after that. To me, just looking back, looking while the match or whatever was on, I didn't care about anything else after that match was over. So, yeah, it's in my opinion, my humble opinion.
Yeah.
I think it should have main evented. Yeah. But I see why it didn't.
I agree with you. Again, you and I kind of have this different perspective where we don't regularly watch New Japan. Like, I make an effort for Wrestle Kingdom. You try to bamboozle me into watching all the stuff from G1 Climax this year, and it didn't really happen.
I'm complaining about it.
I'm just saying that I haven't been a stout follower of the product, even though I feel like I should be. It's just, you know, there's only so many hours in the day. I know you wag your finger, but it is what it is. So as somebody that's not as involved with it, I didn't give two shits about Naito and Okada.
Yeah.
Like, I cared about Omega because Omega versus Okada, and I care about Jericho because it's fucking Jericho.
Yeah.
So I know that that bias is in me.
But you saw the match anyway.
And I saw the match anyway.
That changed.
I had already been like spent. I said that I went back and watched Jericho Omega three times. I watched the main event half a time because it was on when we were watching it over at Aaron's house. And after Jericho Omega, everyone started cracking jokes, you know, getting food, this and that, you know, just talking about hats and all kinds of stupid shit. And like, next thing I know, the match is ending and I was only like halfway paying attention. And maybe that's on me, but maybe that was on the match itself. Like, it didn't keep my attention. Like, there was a few moves I was like, oh shit, hey, shut up. Did you see that?
Yeah, I think it was on your Fantastic Friends more than anything.
Well, maybe, but I don't know. Like, I still right now don't feel compelled. Oh man, I really gotta go back and rewatch that match.
Yeah, that's how I feel like. Yeah. I missed it, but I don't care.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel about it.
The one match that I'm really bummed that I haven't seen yet is the four way for the junior heavyweight, because I watched came in and ruined my fucking experience.
He was watching it at work.
Yeah.
Chris, what about you? I know you probably have more stuff to say about that main event.
Early in my concert history, there was a show that came to town that was Deftones and Thrice.
All right.
Deftones is a whole lot more popular than Thrice. Right. And I know some Deftones songs. I marked the fuck out when Thrice was on stage. I was right on the rail. As soon as Thrice left the stage, so did I. Went in the back, got my autographs, met the band. Yeah. I know exactly what you guys feel.
Yeah.
That you guys checked out after Jericho versus Omega, because that's really 90% of the populace here in this country is why they were watching.
Yes. Right.
It took whether you either made time, wanted time, or you were curious that, oh, shit, if Kenny Omega can have a badass match with Okada, then can Okada have a badass match with Naito? But I don't blame you guys one second. Again, I saw Jericho versus Omega three times this week. I saw Okada versus Naito 2 hours ago.
For the first time?
Yes. Yeah. For the first time. 2 hours ago.
And this coming from the guy that stayed up till fucking 4 o'clock in the morning to try to watch everything.
Because I was passing out so much, and after Jericho versus Omega, I told Scott, man, just crash. Either you want to crash on the couch or crash on the bed, I'll take the leftovers. I can't do it. And
you were zonked out.
and the name value of Okada, there was something a little off in this match.
Mm. Okay.
It just, to be honest, I hate to say it about Naito because it would have been this two times in a row, but this is one of those moments. This is like WrestleMania 18. You can't follow Rock Hogan.
Yeah.
And as good of a match as Jericho Triple H was to end that show, everybody went to see The Rock versus versus Hulk Hogan. And at the end of the day, this is what this felt like. As good a match as that was, by no means was it a bad match. It was not a bad match.
How nice. But
you're gonna put that up against fucking Jericho and Omega? We had this last week. It's like, who would you vote for?
Yeah.
Omega Jericho, duh.
Yeah.
You know, it's no brainer.
And it's ironic that it's Jericho now seeing the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was about to say. How nice is that for Jericho, who got upstaged at WrestleMania 18, to be the one upstaging Wrestle Kingdom?
That being said,
that's nice for him.
As interesting and fun a match that I enjoyed with Jericho and Omega, I think he's going to have an even better match, Jericho against Tetsuya Naito. The next night on New Year's Jazz, Jericho just beat the hell out of Naito and the rest of the go. And now just sitting there like, who the fuck is that guy Gene over there beating the hell out of our dude? And they just sat there like a little cold. But Naito's more of Jericho's speed. Naito's more of Jericho's charisma. Naito, for all intents and purposes, could be a Japanese Jericho.
Yeah.
You know, so both of those guys back and forth, building up to whenever their match is going to be. It's not going to be in February. But then down the road, be fun as shit, dude. So I'm looking forward to that.
Ryan,
welcome.
Robert, Aaron, welcome.
Fuck you.
No, it's Aaron. So everybody's kind of chiming in here. Robert says Jericho Omega was awesome, but the title match was a solid main event. Naito definitely has the Stone Cold vibe to him, as I said. Ryan says, I don't watch New Japan at all, LOL.
That's okay.
Aaron says Young Bucks versus Roppongi Vice, Roppongi 3K was amazing. And he said, Okada is boring.
That was a – number one, you're right. Okada is boring. He needs something like Randy Orton to get him out of boring
status.
I think he is Randy Orton.
Yeah.
He's Japanese Randy Orton. Yeah. If Tanahashi is Japanese John Cena –
And here's where the one thing I did notice that I think is a positive throughout a lot of the Wrestle Kingdom match card was that there was a lot less puro wrestle and a lot more sports entertainment.
That Jericho Omega
was literally Omega's audition to show up to WWE this year.
Yeah.
that was his interview.
Okay.
Which I don't mind because a lot of that stuff around the entire card was played out really well. There's a young guy, I forgot his name, Kitsura. He was a number two guy in the Battle Royal. Huge buff, almost like a Japanese Batista. I was like, man, if Vince is watching this, he'll hire that guy in a second. Fresh out the New Japan Dojo. He won the Hot Star something from last year, so he's doing some – he has a tournament within himself to see if he can have a winning record. Dude, there's a lot of talent in New Japan, and there's a lot of people that can fit in WWE right now.
And I saw a thing that says the guy – I always forget his name – the guy who runs New Japan.
Goto.
Yeah, and it was what I've been saying to my friend Paul. He's like, New Japan's going to take over. Oh, man, WWE's doomed. I'm like, dude, shut the fuck up. This is what's going to happen. They're going to fucking work together because they're going to be smart. The competition is badass, but a friendly competition like you. Everyone wins.
It's not the first time.
Yeah.
Well, because, the miserable TNA in New Japan.
No, thing. Jushin Liger at TakeOver.
That's what I wanted to revert to. They already kind of like, hey, had this guy for a bit.
You want
to
make Kazuchika Okada interesting? Have him turn on Gedo. Gedo's been riding Okada's coattails for at least half a decade now. Especially if people know, if they want to play that WWE route and let people know behind the curtain, like, hey, that's actually the guy in charge of making everything.
Yeah.
And now Kazuchika's like cutting him off. Like he's not gonna make his bread money anymore.
Yeah.
Dude, that can get attention.
Juan, welcome. Scott the Scott. Welcome.
About time.
Yes. Scott's actually watching it this time. Oh, wow. There. See, you just have to invite him over to your place, and then he starts watching.
He just wake up from that night.
What did y'all do?
Google Pornhub.
All right. Juan says this, Naito versus Jericho is awesome. Is this where they make Naito official face, unless tweener?
he was getting a lot of reaction in the dome, almost over Okada up until the very end of the match.
Mm-hmm.
Up until he started spitting. Once Naito starts spitting, everybody boos that motherfucker. Yeah. God damn it. And I just cheered even more.
Right.
Yeah.
He also says Okada is okay, but the pants were stupid.
The pants?
He normally wears trunks.
Yeah.
It's kind of off-putting.
He coded it up.
How about Hiroshi Tanahashi against Jay White? Because
If you guys want to say that Okada is boring, I could kind of feel you on that, but I still like him a lot better than I would Randy Orton or something like that, even though we drew that comparison.
Yeah.
If we want to talk about boring, right now, dude, Tanahashi, I'm not digging that guy, and this Jay White, dude,
whoa.
I really didn't dig.
Whoa.
I did not like Jay White at all.
Okay.
I thought that was the worst match.
Tanahashi?
Out of all the matches I saw, that was the worst.
Tanahashi is there because he's like the last cornerstone of New Japan.
All right.
Nakamura's gone. Freaking Okada's on the way up. Yeah. Tanahashi's done the work for him several times. Number one, absolutely fucking agree with you that I don't know what the fuck a switchblade is.
Apparently, he's just adopted this gimmick in the last month or two.
Yes. But the reason I didn't like Jay White last in Wrestle Kingdom was it was the same problem I had with Kenny Omega.
Okay.
Kenny Omega 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, when he was at Wrestle Kingdom against Kushida for the junior heavyweight championship,
okay,
and was barely adopting this stone face cleaner gimmick,
right?
He was kind of boring as fuck. And it wasn't until he got into the Bullet Club and started finding his groove and started playing his old Atari that he became what he is now. Jay White at Wrestle Kingdom was like watching paint dry. Mm. It didn't help that it was against Tanahashi, but still. New Year's Dash, where Kenny Omega is introducing Jay White as the newest member of the Bullet Club,
right,
just for Jay White to turn on him.
Yeah.
Now I give a fuck about a Jay White.
Okay.
Yeah.
And now they got I've got some stuff.
Chaos, right?
He's on his own.
He's on his own. Okay.
He's on his own. But now there's some substance. Now there's a side to the character. It's not just the character. There's like a means to the character. Like, and now I get you.
And I kind of also felt that there was a little bit of New Japan ripping off themselves with Jay White going up against, you know, like not going against, but juxtaposed to Omega. Like, I felt like he was early day Omega. You know,
even
Dude, I'm not digging it. I mean, you're just trying to put the same gimmick on everybody, and that was kind of the downfall of NWO. And right now, Bullet Club's trying to get, they're flirting with that line of being too much old NWO, later NWO. I mean, right now they're still cool and they're still right there where everybody's buying their fucking shirts and shit. But that's true. But they're not quite there yet. But man,
they're on the path.
They're on the path.
Here's the difference: Kenny Omega's already established his own clique, the Elite. Be something that people have been anticipating for a while. People weren't aware of Wolfpack NWO or LWO or Black and Silver or 2000 or whatever, how many fucking amalgamations they had of that shit. There's already story built into it that I think people are ready for it. To the point where we had a lot more substance coming out than we did coming in with Cody against Kota Ibushi.
Yo, God.
That match.
Mm. Are we officially transitioning?
Go. I'll see you. Go.
That was so good. That was, I don't want to say a complete surprise, but because I mean, look at the guys that are in the match, but it was like very pleasant to see a match that didn't get as much hype going into it.
Zero hype.
Almost stealing the goddamn show.
Yep.
I mean, what else is there to say?
There's a thing that I always go back to this. I always go back to the Dragon Ball Z argument. Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho was the best match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Kota Ibushi, Cody, it was my favorite match of the night.
Okay.
That match had everything everything that I wanted to see out of that match when I found out they were wrestling, they did, and like them some. It was just really action-packed, philosophical. I mean, philosophical, psychological. Mm-hmm. When it came to the fucking thing where he did the dive and he kind of fell on Brandy.
Yeah.
And Brandy.
Oh, they landed. Oh my god, dude. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Brandy.
All that we needed with Brandy and Cody was that.
Dude, they were about to, but Cody missed the cue. She wanted to kiss.
It was enough. It was enough where we're like, those little stinkers.
Brandy's working herself like into this even much better than I thought she was going
to. Dude, the MVP of the night, I think, him do here in New York. Roads, man.
That fucking crossroads.
No, the springboard into the Hurricane Rana.
Yeah, that was nice.
The fact that he did new stuff. He kept up with Coda. He didn't slow Coda down. Mm-mm. Dude, the taunt in the beginning where he gives his hand and picks Coda up till he stands up straight. You're like, what the fuck is this motherfucker doing? And then bam, he hits. Oh my god. Dude. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Kenny and behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very close second. If you persuade me, it could be a first.
I loved it, man.
All right. Seth, what's up? Welcome. Man, we got everybody in here tonight. Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for joining us.
How many of you that are watching right now actually saw Wrestle Kingdom? Right. Is that why all of you are here? In that case, fuck that we did. We talk Japanese shit every week.
Aaron,
we need the views.
In Japanese.
Aaron's saying, what's up with your hair? And Robert came to your defense and said, oh, it's Bailey hair.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yeah, the PewDiePie. While I still have it.
And Porsche is saying, yeah, people from LIDS get days off. I guess we'll see.
Hey, so
there it goes. Okay, it should be fine.
Stuck everywhere. That's what he said.
We'll get to that.
How about the four-way for the junior heavyweight title?
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Brothers, go please, for it.
You
suck.
I know.
What?
You missed it.
Best match or whatever is Jericho Omega, and then right underneath it is Ibushi and I'm going to say in between there.
Whoa.
Stuck in the middle.
That creamy filling?
That creamy filling. Is this Oreo fucking four-way? Dude.
I don't think they understand the meaning of the word rest.
Exactly. Now, I mean, before I get into the match, I just want to mark the fuck out
for
over...
For a stuffed kitten?
Well, the stuffed kitten, but for the fucking wings... The wings, that was fucking badass.
The intro was tight.
Marty Scurll's intro was fucking awesome. Fucking I thought
tight,
it was great.
Dude. Yeah.
Even the Japanese do the...
Marty Scurll. In fact, I think this is the second time I've ever seen him wrestle. I was impressed with the richness of the character. As Marty Scurll, I mean, we know him as Party Marty.
I know him from the show The New Girl. He's that guy, isn't he?
But, dude, I dug his character. I know a lot of people have been talking about his character that, oh, man, you need to check him out. He's, you know, whatever. And I was like, every time somebody tells me, hey, this is really good, I fucking watch it and, you know, just try to nitpick. And with this, I was like, damn, that character's fucking badass. Mm-hmm. I'm down. The
before
villain?
He
okay.
Wrestled a sing- before he did a single wrestling move, I was already in. I was already like, yeah, I like this guy.
Yeah.
I like this guy.
Yeah. And then getting into the match itself, aside from the pageantry and the character, the match itself, fuck, dude, you're right, man. They don't know anything about rest, man.
Bang,
they were just
bang,
going
bang,
bam,
bang,
bam,
bang,
bam.
All
four
until
of them. All
four of them got knocked out, and then they're trying to catch their breath. Dude, I've never really been the biggest fan of Hiromu Takahashi.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to sound derogatory when I say
is he the one with hair or without hair?
He comes across as the least masculine of all four of the guys. You know, he comes out with a stuffed cat and he's over here with his hair around and has a mask. And I was like, I don't get it because I haven't been watching it religiously. Commentators do a good job of filling me in. That freaking Battle of Folly tore the cat apart and he had to put it back together.
Yeah.
He impressed me the most. I already know what an Osprey can do. I already know what Kushida can do in 8 different time zones. I know what a freaking ooh is.
Yeah.
But Hiromu Tanahashi, when I was reading the matches last week, I was like, this match is going to be awesome. Oh, fuck Hiromu. But dude, all four of them held their weight.
Yeah.
All of them.
I mean, maybe some actual hardcore fans of New Japan are going to be disappointed with who won. I'm not, because I don't have a horse in that race. I was just fucking entertained.
I accidentally spoiled the ending for Abel too, because I thought he had seen it. So I was like, oh, hey, Marty Skrull lost his belt. Oh, thanks. Oh, shit, sorry.
So he did tell me that, so I knew Marty Skrull.
I saw that before. I saw that spoiler before I even saw the Omega and
YG. To be honest, I didn't even know he had a belt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how not in the know I am for New Japan. But, I mean, if you guys were to have been in agreement, I would have been okay. I'm with you on there by saying that this was actually the best match of the night.
Okay. I haven't watched the full match. I've only watched 20% of it. So
okay.
I have to rewind.
I mean, if the default is Jericho Omega, then okay. But if we weren't going to go with the default, I would have argued this match.
Okay. Who saw the car crash go to... Chris and I'm a hypocrite, you know, for all the shit I said about freaking Shibata and his jello brain. Holy crap, those two were beating the holy fuck out of each other, and I could not stop watching.
So you have to keep watching
the dude. Minoru's getting elbowed in the face and he's laughing like the Joker, like none of it sunk. Mm-mm. He plays crazy to a T, but not back to a T. He loses. They start setting everything up in the ring. The referee brings him a chair. Suzuki's like halfway gone, but his group, Suzuki Gun, are taking him away. Then when he comes to and realizes that he lost, he pushes them all away, goes to ringside, grabs his own chair, swats the chair that's already in the ring, puts his chair up, grabs the trimmers, because it's Japanese tradition. You cut your own hair.
Yeah.
And he's just started going to town on a couple of strokes on the back.
He had anger with it, too.
I'm surprised he wasn't bleeding. Yeah. But, he took it, and you can see the respect between the two of them. I'm not sure if that's – obviously that's not Suzuki going full-blooded face, but people can find reason to like the guy. He's fucking crazy, dude.
Yeah.
while we're like, I'm just gonna like mention something real quick. You brought up the tradition and the hair thing. I watched the documentary Lucha Mexico.
Oh, on Netflix, right?
Netflix.
Yeah.
Good documentary. There's one thing that stood out. Somebody in the chat, if you've seen it, tell me the name. There's a wrestler in the documentary.
Okay.
He loves his character. He's a mask man in long hair, fucking like pretty boy, but with a mask.
Okay.
In a match, he loses the mask, and he's like, I get it. And he wrestles a couple of like more times without the mask. And just from what I gathered, I was in and out of sleep. I don't know if he overdosed, killed himself or what, but I think he like that ties into like he couldn't deal with like the shit after losing his mask. Oh, that kind of shit. Yeah, that kind of shit makes me like, damn, like this tradition is fucking raw as fuck in Mexico and in Japan. Like they stick to their shit, man. And they're fucking
it's still real to them, damn.
Yeah.
Talk about openers. Young Bucks against Roppongi 3000.
I did not see that.
That was a fucking good match, dude. That was another match where I love that they set up submissions early. To work on, like, it's something on the body part that you're going to end the match with. So the backs. So it was all about the lower backs. Fucking.
Dude, at one point, one of them was outside of the ring, laid out, and they were worried he was.
Holy shit. He did a fucking flip and just bam.
Oh.
And then those running power bombs that they would do. One of them on the, what's the, Rocky Romero was the guy?
The hype guy with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah. He fucking got powerbombed, badass. Oh yeah, dude, I love the Young Bucks, man. Every time I see a match from them, I always tell myself, dude, they're kind of flippy dippy, and then every time I see them, like, don't expect too much. And every time I see a match, I'm like, hey, they're more than just flippy dippy. Yeah, that stands out, but they're good wrestlers too, and they know how to tell a story in the ring while wrestling.
Yeah,
and they have charisma. They have everything. There, I like the Young Bucks.
I think a lot of people who do shit on the Young Bucks for being too much flippy dippy don't really watch their stuff.
They don't appreciate the entertainment side that they're doing.
Well, with that, but also the fact that they do incorporate a lot of psychology. Spam the fuck out of super kicks, but
who does it now?
Yeah.
It's 2018.
Yeah,
I do it. at work.
That, but like,
you owe me money.
There's more to the match than just the super kicks. You know, they lead up to it, and when they do it, oh, it's like a big hit. Party. I mean, you don't hear about Roger Strong sucks because he spams backbreakers.
Kenny Omega does a V-trigger 17 times in a match.
Yeah, exactly.
And still can't put Okada down.
God damn. So every single time that V-trigger happens,
yeah. I mean, it looks bad. I mean, not bad, but I mean, it looks devastating.
Yeah.
Was that the knee that Ibushi was using where he had the like straight jacket arms and just boom? Bam. Oh, dude. The one he hit on Cody at the end?
Yeah.
Robert Medlin says Fabian El Gaetano.
Yeah.
Was a luchador.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dude, that, yeah, I recommend watching that. If you know Spanish, it's better because you don't have to read.
Yeah.
But if you, even if you don't, even if you read, it's still cool. It's still cool because it, like, I don't know, it's very informative, really cool kind of peek behind like the the scenes that this type of shit is going on. I didn't finish it, but
yeah.
It was good.
Scott says, Young Buck matches are the same almost every time, but every single time they make them enjoyable. Okay.
You watch a Finn Balor match, he does the same moves every single match, but you still like it.
Tickets for Strong Style Evolve go on sale at the end of January.
Okay. That's in LA, right?
Yep, Long Beach. And those tickets are expensive too.
Oh, yeah?
$200 for the first five rows, $150 for the next five rows, and then it's $180 and $50 for the bleachers.
Damn.
California?
All right. Yeah.
And bet. The first show sold out in 2 hours. This will probably be gone in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two, on the Twitter machine, Cody Rhodes did tease September 1st.
He's all in, baby.
All in. Their Bullet Club show that they want to put on their own, that they're attempting to draw 10,000 people.
One little note, they said that, but when they announce it, they're not saying shit. All they're saying is September 1st, I'm all in. It's him and the Young Bucks. The only three of them said anything about it, or two of them.
Well, Stephen Amell did too.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to wonder how they're wording it. I want to ask you something. Have you seen what's going on with Cody and Omega now?
Yeah, man, Cody, the whole build-up to Cody versus Ibushi, because, you know, Omega and Ibushi used to be the Golden Lovers, the tag team when they first debuted. Yeah. They did a lot of tandem stuff together.
They made a note to talk about that on both matches.
This could be the show that we get Cody versus
Omega.
Versus Omega, or Cody and his team against the Elite.
Okay.
The thing about it, I was telling you, what I'm seeing is Cody – and the Young Bucks are starting to do a lot of similar things. They're going everywhere you see on Facebook. It's all them again. It's never Kenny. So I don't know, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Dude, one of the loudest pops the entire weekend was when Kota was about to get killed and Kenny runs in for the save and gets face to face. That crowd popped, dude. Yeah. If you were to multiply that.
That was New Year's
dash. That was New Year's dash. Night
after. What happened there exactly?
So there was like Club won, but then after that they kept beating up on everybody, and then they saw freaking Ibushi was in the ring and Cody was gonna like knock his head off.
Yeah.
And Kenny Omega slides in for the save, grabs the chair from Cody, throws it away, and they start bickering back and forth.
Yeah.
To the point where everybody calmed down and Cody had realized that Cody's not the leader, that Omega's the leader. And then that transition to, oh, you know what? I'm tired of all the back talking, I'm tired of us not being on the same page. I know what we need, a new member. And that's when they offered Jay White. Jay White said, "Bitch, fuck you!"
Yeah.
Dropped them with the Blade Runner.
Well, I didn't see New Year's Dash, but I did see. I don't know if this was originally posted on Twitter or Facebook or what, but like a video of Bullet Club eating at a restaurant, and Cody is sitting there eating, just staring at Omega, and Omega was staring at him, had this big ass bowl of ice cream, and was just like staring a hole. Missing ice cream all over the face, just like, and they were just like mad at each other. That was fucking hilarious.
Dude, that'll sell 10,000 tickets. Okay. You put Cody versus Omega at the end, that'll sell 10,000 tickets.
Well, speaking of selling 10,000 tickets, Scott says, did you hear the rumor about CM Punk being all in? Robert says, Punk would definitely sell 10,000 tickets.
Yeah, I'd buy all 10,000 of them. Yeah, it leads me to another question I had, because, you know, every year or every couple years, somebody new debuts in around the Royal Rumble time or at the Royal Rumble. That's main one was AJ. And you got to even think, versus last year, everyone was kind of debating, hey, is Kenny Omega going to come to WWE? He didn't. I think this proves there is one. I think Jaime on Facebook posted last week. He said, who would you want to see? From, it doesn't have to be Bullet Club, just general.
Somebody show up in
New Japan or ROH or anybody. Who would it be? New Japan, I said Okada. He laughed me out of his Facebook. I was just like, I'd like to see that because he's already WWE style.
Okay. He's already WWE boring.
Exactly.
WWE boring.
They could work with that.
Fucking put him on 205 Live. You'll make everybody else look good.
Yeah, and I was just like, I don't know. Who do y'all think?
Specifically from Japan or ROH to show up in the Rumble?
Yeah. Oh, or just to debut right now on the road to WrestleMania.
Okay. I think, man, I don't know. I wouldn't get that excited for Okada. Like, if Okada showed up, I'd be like,
cool.
Oh, holy shit. Okay, cool. But I wouldn't, like, mark the fuck out.
It's in Philadelphia this year. Philadelphia is a very smarky crowd. I would like to see their
Will Smith.
I would like to see their markiness tested. Mm-hmm. Because it's a no-brainer for me. This guy has been lighting up SportsCenter, ESPN, Deadspin. It's easy. Keith Lee.
No. Yes.
Keith Lee, Braun Strowman, face-to-face, bend me over, give it to me.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
They can wrestle each other, too.
Yeah. Yeah, Keith Lee, he made it on the top 10 of, was it Sports Illustrated, wrestlers of 2?
He's been on a couple of shows on Evolve who have pay-per-view access, and he's done, he did some time in Ring of Honor for a while with Shane Taylor as a tag team, PBK.
WWE works with Evolve, right?
And WWE works with Evolve, and Keith Lee actually, when he tried out for NXT a while ago before Dusty was still alive, Dusty gave him the advice of his character, and that's where he got Limitless from, and Bask in Your Glory. So there's ties already. Mm-hmm. And without any introduction, a casual viewer putting on the clicker, and you see a big black guy, 6'9", 340 pounds, that can move around like somebody from 205 Live, you're going to get people's attention real quick.
He's amazing. And whenever we saw him down here for various different promotions, I mean, Lone Star, ROW.
Even his first debuts in Ring of Honor.
In San Antonio. Oh. I mean, damn, that guy's a fucking amazing. Yeah. But I mean, if we're going to.
And he's a good guy, too.
He is. He's a nice dude. He is. He's really nice. He had several interviews with us a few times. The War Machine. Or War Beard, I guess maybe they'll call him once they get to WWE. Yeah. But
the Highlanders.
Rowan Hansen, man, dude. If Rowan Hansen were to debut either at the Rumble or before or whatever,
Takeover.
Or hell, maybe even at Mania itself as somebody else to challenge for the tag team titles or the day after Mania, I would mark the fuck out. Just because I got to see Ray Rowe a whole lot here in Houston. So, I'm really pulling for the guy the same way how I'm pulling for Brennan Williams. Mm-hmm. But, like, everyone else
that'd
out there.
That'd be a nice interview.
Yeah, that'd be a nice interview. Everyone else out there, who the fuck is Ray Rowe? Who the fuck is Brennan Williams?
Yeah.
You wait. But, like, but, maybe that's just us because of the ties.
Excited for Jinder Mahal, too.
I was excited for Jinder Mahal. I'm still excited for Jinder Mahal.
So, apparently there was other wrestling in the week.
Oh.
I heard.
Nasty Nate joined us. Welcome.
Hey. Is that the guy that does the BBW videos?
Possibly.
I'm waiting on product. This is like a year and a half build.
He says, did Jericho get a boob job?
No. Oh, it looked like he did after all those fucking chops from Omega.
That's Father Time right there. Those used to be pecs.
Robert Medlin said, but the Rainmaker. Aaron responded, the Sleepmaker.
The cure for insomnia.
Oh, damn. Okay. Sorry. I don't want to go straight into the WWE yet. Oh. There is another kind of indie
note.
If you
say DCW, I swear to
God. No.
Don't say ROW either.
No. Austin Aries is now in Impact. Do you want spoilers?
Okay. That's still a thing.
Okay, do you want spoilers?
I don't give a shit.
I'm about to give you spoilers, guys watching. If you care, then close your ears.
The guy Austin, that harps on me all the time being Spoiler Joe, and he's going to be the one to open his mouth.
Well, apparently it's like all over the internet and stuff. But
because they're an hour ahead and they're taping.
Yeah. New champ. Austin Aries showed up and they just handed him the title.
I was expecting you to say that the other MVP of New Japan is now like the head chairman of Impact.
Oh, yeah. I don't know about chairman stuff. That's all I got.
Don Callis. Don Callis on commentary with freaking Kelly Kevin.
Yeah.
Dude, the best part was New Year's Dash at the end. So Jericho beats up on Naito, right? And they split him up and Naito leaves. Naito walks by the commentator booth and he looks at both of them, at Kevin Kelly and at Don Callis. Fucking snitch Kevin Kelly goes, Don Callis, you know, that's Jericho's boy right there. And he just looked at him like, like he was about to get his ass raped by freaking Ingobernables. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah, he did some podcasts during the week because he flew back because they're doing tapings right now as we record. And he's like, you know, we're not planning to make change everything overnight. It's a process, like a football team. You're going to see the results at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But that's a good start. I mean, Aries was never going to get past – he was never going to get past cruiserweight status on WWE, sadly. His debut was hindered from the very beginning. I was there in Orlando for those NXT tapings. Holy shit, Austin Aries shows up. It can't get any better than this. Oh, wait, AJ Styles. 2 days later. And Nakamura.
Yeah.
And TakeOver 2 months later. Yeah, so from the very beginning, Austin Aries was like a solid B+, as opposed to everybody else on the roster. And then you're going to classify him on 205. And he didn't even get the title after three pretty good matches with Neville. And he did, and they were teasing him with angles. Like, I got an idea, Angle. And they never followed it up. And he just Splitsville. So good for him if he gets the run. Hearing that, I'll be interested in watching the Impact.
Yeah.
Every year something. When they do Impact, they do some kind of change. There's some new channel. There's some new wrestlers.
They're on PBS.
There's some new drama.
PBS. Yeah.
They're on Twitch, actually. They're going to be on Twitch. And so Austin Aries winning the belt, that's a good start. Aries with who's in their main title picture right now? Bobby Lashley?
Patron's
still in there. Johnny Impact?
Those would be some good matches.
I'm hoping they break out some more Lucha Underground people on there.
Yeah,
maybe bring Jericho with Callis and have them show up.
Yeah, both Scott and Robert are optimistic for Don Callis being in charge of Impact. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to just like shit all over Impact because that's like the cool thing to do.
We're old.
If they can turn things around, I'm all for it. I'm for them turning things around.
They're fighting for third place
competition
because right now New Japan's like, they're like catching, and then Ring of Honor is right behind them because they used to do it, and then right over there is Impact.
Okay.
All right.
So now, do you want to get into to WWE?
Not really.
Not really? No, okay, well, I mean, Scott did say Wrestle Circus is coming back next month.
Yeah, but they've been canceling shows for the last couple of months. I don't buy it.
All right. Okay, well,
Arnold.
WWE.
What do you remember most about Raw?
I just remember that Raw was too sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can't even do it right. Fool can't even do it right.
Yeah. Practice. Yeah.
Gotta do the Ballard whole thing,
Club.
Huh?
In 2018. It's the year of the Battle Club. 2018.
Yeah, because you got one champion, the dog,
Big Dog.
And then you got the other champion, and then you got
Champions Club.
Nerd! God, awesome. I'm telling you, I said this last week. The more that they downplay that he's the seed of Kurt Angle, and the more they upplay that he's like the wannabe third member of the Shield, that's going to be more entertaining. And that proved it.
This week.
My theory was proven on Raw. I fucking love that segment.
Yeah. I love just like the casual mentions, like Tama Tonga, fucking like just, dude, it was cool to watch.
Tama Tonga.
I just love that they let them kind of just be. You could tell. Dude, Finn Balor cannot stop smiling because he's so finally fucking happy. He's like, I can fucking be me, dude. I can be who the fuck I need. I can be instead of this whatever they want me to be.
Yeah,
I didn't get over on their idea, I'm over without even having a fucking charge just because I'm cool.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you need. And just that just showed you. All you had to do was let them be. Mm-hmm. Gallows and Anderson over. Although that crowd sucked.
They were terrible. They were in Alabama.
SmackDown was in Alabama, but they were in Memphis. Memphis. They were in the fucking South. But yeah. Yeah, those fucking. The goddamn crowd was busy banging their sisters to pay attention.
I'll be there in 3 weeks. I'll take a lot of magnums.
Yeah. Man. Oh, yeah, the crowd ruined a lot of this week's wrestling. Honestly, it did to me.
For WWE.
Yeah, for WWE. The main event was a good match, too. I loved, the Jason Jordan kept hindering them. At the end, it was like, the fuck, dude? Like, stop being a dumbass.
Dude, I absolutely love what they're doing with Jordan, man. Yeah. I think sometimes I feel like I'm the only guy saying this. They're working Jason Jordan perfectly to a T with what he is. You know, everybody hated Kurt Angle. Because he was this nerd who tried to be cool, but he's not cool. But yeah, God damn it. Okay, I guess he can wrestle, but he sucks. But he's winning. But oh god, fucking hell! He has a title. Fucking son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they're doing with Jason Jordan, and I fucking love it. Them calling him a nerd is exactly what he is. He's this nerd who thinks he is hanging out with the cool guys. We're the champ club. I know. Yeah. I know we're not the Shield, but we're the Shield guys.
Didn't TNA had a stable like that, the Champions Club or
Main Event Mafia?
Main Event Mafia.
No, something like
that. Oh, Fortune.
Fortune. I don't know why I'm thinking like that.
Well, AJ Ric Flair and Ric Flair and
The Millionaires Club. That was in WCW.
That was WCW.
Yeah. Millionaires Club. Making yourself like that.
The fact that everybody's annoyed with Jason Jordan is exactly what you want.
Yeah.
And I think it's working well.
And the matches aren't bad.
Your highlight from Raw.
Probably that. To be honest, I think I agree with Arnold that, that was the thing that stood out to me the most.
It was a good Raw.
Oh, you know what? I take that back. The highlight for me is Braun Strowman fighting a fucking Gatling hook.
His Batman impersonation.
I'm like, he's not going to go over there and just stick this in fucking Brock Lesnar's nipple. Like, what the hell is he going to do with this thing? And he, threw it up there. And I'm like, please don't have him hang somebody. No, we don't need that in the PG era. Nobody needs
Suzuki
to get
already did that to Goto.
Yeah, please don't hang somebody. But then when I saw what he was doing, that he was pulling the thing down for it to fall, I'm like, that was fucking brilliant. It swerved me a couple of times, and then when it happened, it made Braun look fucking really strong. And it was creative, man. I like the fact that with Braun, there's a little bit of intelligence underneath it all. Brock Lesnar is just this hulking brute who needs a mouthpiece to talk for him. Kane is the weirdo who tries to say stuff and he doesn't sound like as menacing as he should because he says stupid shit.
Yeah.
Braun, he comes up with clever ways to hurt you.
Yes.
And that's exactly what he did. He cleverly hurted them.
I missed this live, and I remember I went to work the next day on my day off to do some work. And that's what you do at work. And my boss asked me, hey, did you see the Kane fight? And I'm like, no, I haven't watched the last hour yet. And Abel was like, oh, yeah. I was like, well, Kane have a match? Abel was like, no, it's like you just have to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, whatever. It's probably something stupid. And then the day goes by. I get home later on. I sit down and I watch, me and my wife sit down, watch wrestling. I press play. It's the Brock Lesnar segment. That's where I left off. And then it happens. And that all that happened. And I just utter four words. This was one of those episodes where it's like, hey, guys, do you watch wrestling? Can I watch the wrestling show with you? No.
Explain that.
Don't watch this with me, please.
Really? You didn't like it?
Yeah, it was stupid. Okay. But I just said it's stupid. Like, okay. It always happens with Braun. Last time that something like that happened was a fucking ambulance getting pushed over. It's like, come on, that's not real. We're not stupid. You know what I mean? Yeah. But It was awesome. It was all right. Like the acting on it, Heyman. Oh my god, everything about it was like so scripted but so fucking cool.
Honestly, I think that this stunt was more believable than the flipping of the ambulance stunt.
Yeah, because you saw it happen.
Yeah, you saw it happen, and like I believe that.
Like, I still don't, I mean, I call bullshit on both. Yeah, bullshit on
it. Okay,
but it was a. It's a little disappointing that a feud with Brock and Braun has to go to that level.
Yeah, to get
like,
over.
Do you need props and stuff? Do you need like, for example, Kane?
No,
you don't need Kane.
Kane should not be in this mix at all. My wife said it herself. He can't even like walk after him. Like when Kane was chasing Strowman, I think, or Kane was when Kane was chasing Brock Lesnar, I believe, down like the little ramp. He said, "Look at him. He can't even fucking keep up with him." Whenever he was walking down like the steps,
it's obvious the audience didn't care. Yeah, they're not into this. Not even the people that work there cared. Yeah. Nobody helped Kane up.
No.
Everyone was helping Brock. Nobody helped Kane. Kane just like crawled out, stumbled away, went on his own way. While everybody was like, "Oh my god, the champion! Let's put him on a stretcher." You know, it was whatever.
That was bad.
But I don't know. I enjoyed it. I was sports entertained.
I have two highlights.
Okay, go.
The first one. Good lord, that Miz promo.
Ooh, oh yeah,
yeah,
he's back.
Reminding us why we missed him so much.
Yeah.
Why you missed him?
So much for that. And then, of course, it's obvious, Samoa Joe's promo.
Okay.
You think Roman Reigns won? Look at him. The cracks are starting to show. And when he falls apart, it'll be right there.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up the pieces.
And you believe
that. You know what that means? Roman defends the Universal title against Samoa Joe at SummerSlam. It's there. Okay. It's there. It's unfinished business. Joe just said, "Oh, that's not a – do you call that a victory? Does he look like a winner?"
He called it – God damn, I wish I knew that. I wasn't intelligent enough to remember the word that he said. It was a word.
I forgot what he said.
Yeah.
And he's like, "You know what it means?" Charlie's like, "Well, yeah." I was like, "What it means?" She's like, "I'm just fucking going to tell you what it said, but all right." that was good, and he basically said, "I'm going to eliminate John Cena in the Royal Rumble." When he said that,
Cena at Mania, dude. If they're doing Joe Cena at Mania.
Oh, that'd be fucking great. Because he said that's the name that's always run parallel to me. Bad news happened after the next morning after Raw aired. Samoa Joe's hurt again.
Something popped in his foot.
He's out of the mixed match tournament.
Which is good because who the fuck cares?
Make
really?
Good for nobody.
But, I'm going to give it a shot.
You sure?
Really? I'm going to give it a shot.
Think about it for a second.
No, I'm going to give it a shot.
You sure?
Yeah.
This is for charity, right?
I don't know if it's for charity, but I mean, I'm getting
a predetermined tournament to justify a charity and leaving the other ones in the dust because, again, it's predetermined. You can't get the 3 hours on Raw right. You can't get the 2 hours on SmackDown right. Why are you giving us 205? Why are you giving us this mixed match junk? This ain't going to be Lucha Underground where the guys are fighting the girls and the girls are fighting the guys, right? No,
right.
So what? Yeah. So what's the? It's inconsequential, right? No storyline, right? None. Just so what? Why the fuck? What? Why? Why?
I'm interested because it's something different. They're using a different platform to put on different matches than you normally see. So
waste the goddamn data plans we're gonna be fucking doing.
I mean, you got Wi-Fi. You can get on your laptop. I'm interested to see how this works. I mean, because they're trying to do this new. It seems like they're experimenting with this Facebook stuff. So that's cool. I mean, if they're going to have
Cyber
that
Sunday.
Yeah, if they're going to have that,
but
you
on
know,
Tuesday.
If they're going to have that try to, you know, impact whatever they're trying to do in a better way than they did with Cyber Tuesday and all that shit.
It just proves that those are before their time.
Maybe. But I mean, that's different and I'm willing to see how it's going to go as an experimental thing. Also, them embracing this mixed match thing, I mean, you don't see that in WWE very often. No, it's not going to be Lucha Underground where guys fight girls all willy-nilly. But, hey, at least this is a step in the right direction, you know, to get, you know, a little bit more of a bit of equality type thing. And they're really working towards that with the Royal Rumble as well. So I'm interested to see where this experimentation is going and whether or not something good is going to come out of it. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's going to be shit before it even happens because – I don't know. I'm willing to give it a shot.
I can sum it up in one sentence. I'm going to watch it because it's wrestling.
All right.
Yeah, I like wrestling.
Robert Miller says WWE loves social media platforms. Rest in peace, Tout.
Now, they didn't like it when Zack Ryder was getting famous off of it, though, right?
No, because they have
to. So we're going to have another show for Twitch? Or we're going to have another show for YouTube? Another show for Daily Motion? Another show for YouPorn? How, where's it going to end? Like, does that, yeah.
I don't know.
You can't get the wrestlers that you've already got on your roster, right? So why are you trying to bring in more? I mean, that's the part that I'm bringing understand. In
more wrestlers. Use the wrestlers you already have. It's a way to see different people in a different context.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
How about Woken Matt?
I dig the entrance music. I was afraid that I was not going to like whatever entrance music they eventually used for him.
Yeah.
But I think they got it right. I mean, it's not just a solo classical piano and that's it, which is what it originally was in TNA for Broken Matt. But I think paying the homage to it at the beginning, there's the classical piano stuff, and then it go into its own IP that WWE can fucking own, then yeah, it's cool. I understand why they do it, and it sounds like it fits. So I'm cool with that. Him going out there, he had, who did he fight? Some jobber, right?
Kurt Hawkins.
Oh, some jobber. So yeah, he went out there
and
fought some
jobber. Oh, in 151.
Yeah.
Right?
So, 151? I mean, I don't give two shits about Kurt Hawkins, even if he's trying to play up the fact that he's a jobber.
Yeah.
His first win's going to be for the U.S. title.
Oh, God.
Intrigued most about Matt Hardy is correct. I've always said he was the least favorite Hardy boy. Exactly. And I don't even like Jeff. So, yeah, I was never a big Matt Hardy guy. And this whole Woken thing piqued my interest, and I really like it, and I love it. I actually love the character, and I love everything. It just shows me that still, I can love everything about Matt Hardy except his wrestling. So
okay.
His match is boring. His match with Bray Wyatt is going to be boring. His match.
Talking about crapping over shit before it even happened.
Yeah. Because I've watched 17 years of Matt Hardy, and to know that his matches are boring.
Okay.
And in my opinion, he's going to fight. No wonder Aaron doesn't like you. He will fight Kenny Omega and it'll be boring.
Aaron doesn't like you either.
I don't give a fuck if anybody likes me. That's the difference.
He will fight Kenny Omega and it'll be boring somehow. So, yeah, exactly. Matt Hardy.
He said that joke before. We were too busy blowing Aaron. Yeah. So,
Matt Hardy is just like, I love Matt Hardy to just keep doing the character stuff.
Okay.
And I'll keep watching that, and I'll keep tuning in. But once the actual match happens, it's going to be, okay, cool.
To be fair, to go along with your point, to be fair, yeah, Matt Hardy hasn't been the best in-ring worker. He's always been, like, just solid workhorse.
He's not bad.
Kind of guy.
He's a good mechanic.
Exactly. The stuff for Broken Matt was never about what happened between the bells.
Exactly.
You know, the stuff that happened on the compound was fucking crazy because of the stupid shenanigans they were doing on the compound.
The fights in the parking lot of Universal Studios on the highway.
Yeah. If they don't play up the wrestling aspect of him and just play up the character aspect of him, then okay. Because I can see where you're coming from. Yeah. Matt,
I'm still plugged in. Like I'm still invested.
He's on his phone right now. We're talking about Matt. He's on his phone. Like he's already like, mentioned
give me,
him. He's already
give me close. Less Matt wrestling and more Matt being fucking Woken.
Okay. You don't like Matt wrestling?
No. It's beyond the mat.
Bad puns.
Loser weight title match.
Match of the week candidate for me.
Disappointment of the week.
Match of the week candidate for me. I thought it was a really good match. I thought Enzo looked really damn good. And Cedric Alexander looked pretty damn good, too. The finish sucked, but, you know.
Yeah.
The finish did provide a gasp moment for me. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I got worked.
Yeah.
I thought he legit fucked up his ankle.
Yeah.
Because he sold like, oh, not now. Yeah, that was like, whoa, fuck, I got real.
Yeah.
And it was cool.
And that was after he started bleeding, which I'm still not convinced that it was the hard way.
Oh, you don't think so?
I'm not convinced that it's the hard way.
I saw his dude's shin go into his face.
He hit him on the left side. He was bleeding from the right eyebrow.
Is he Bigfoot?
Well, he is black.
Damn it. Why you gotta go there?
It was low-hanging fruit.
Oh, God, Susan.
Because they're that big?
What?
Might as well jump in here. Yeah, the ending completely killed it for me. You know, now would have been a good time to either like give the belt to Cedric or get off the pot.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
Because I'm not sure if I want more of this Enzo against Cedric. Like it, I think Cedric with gold has kind of turned me off on Cedric.
I went backwards for me.
Okay.
I think Goldust has made me interested in Cedric.
Yeah, but you don't know what a Cedric is. I've seen Cedric in Ring of Honor.
I'm interested in to quote Byron Saxton, that didn't count.
Don't ever quote Byron Saxton on the show again, number one.
So yeah, like to me,
it's fair.
To me, I'm interested now in WWE Cedric and Cedric. Because before, what'd you give me? Him and Alicia Fox, him and fucking
You're not gonna do anything with him.
They're cruiserweights. You gotta get what you can take
and get him out of there.
But that mixed match thing is kind of pushing 205 away. So it's maybe they'll do what I want them to do and just do away with 205 Live in general
as a show
and just have some cruiserweights sprinkled into the match like
through Raw,
like Nitro used to do.
Okay. I've always been interested in Cedric Alexander.
He's good in the ring.
Yeah, I like him. I've liked his fucking lung blower finisher, the lumbar check. He does lack a certain something as well in the character department. I mean, what is he other than, you know, just another guy?
What's a Cedric?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, he's just another good wrestler. That's it.
Yeah.
Half of that 205 roster is just that.
Yeah.
Most of it, actually.
Yeah. But I kind of like the guy. So, I mean, I hope he gets more character.
Goldust, what's his name from Rocky? It was the shit, though.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, this is the first time we've seen this out of Goldust. Yeah. You know, Goldust puts other people over.
The black guy's over.
He puts black people over. Yeah. R-Truth.
Yeah.
Booker T.
Yeah. There's got to have been somebody else.
Cody Rhodes was.
Yeah, Randy. Cody Rhodes.
Put Brandy over.
Oh, Brandy. Well, look at mixed match.
Dusty Rhodes and the lady who used to come out with it. Black lady.
Sapphire.
There you go.
Is that it for Raw?
About diversification.
Is that it for Raw?
No.
Wow. Yeah. Worldwide upset? No. Yeah.
That was nice. They won something. And hey, Dana Brooke bouncing up and down. That's fucking awesome. But the Bar just got in a match for the tag team titles at Royal Rumble.
And they got beat.
Don't worry, the tag team chaps also got beat the same night.
I guess so.
So it's going to be a four-way or something. Putting the dread aside of that going to be a four-way or whatever, putting that aside, I'm happy that they're doing something with Titus Worldwide. And I'm happy that we found something to make Dana not only tolerable, but entertaining.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, being a wrestler just is not for her. Being a manager, I buy it.
Yeah.
And I dig it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And she's acting the part. She's going out there being obnoxious, but trying to cheer them on and whatever. And like, it doesn't hurt that she's wearing those low cut, you know, vests or whatever. Oh. That doesn't hurt. And she looks good doing it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Find what works for you and roll with it.
And if this puts Titus back in the ring, where Titus isn't just the manager, but Titus is the mastermind behind it all, and he wrestles and he has somebody else do the managing, and you know, he has his own tag team partner.
Former tag team champion, right?
Yeah, and if we remember that, you know, he also has another client over in 205 Live, and they become more of a stable, then all right, I'm down. Please do something with Titus Worldwide. Please.
Another random funny thing that happened was the whole Alexa Bliss telling, and I can't believe what Asuka said about you.
Lord.
Okay, what did she say? What?
Do you know Japanese? Because
yeah.
She doesn't know English.
But then she still came out and beat the fuck out of Asuka because Nia.
Yeah. Nia don't need no excuses to beat the fuck out of somebody.
Nothing.
She's not like most girls.
No. Random little... Absolution got beat, but they look good getting beat in the match against Bayley and Sasha. Like, the match was a throwaway match or whatever. But
Sonya with the straight long hair.
Dude! I was like, whoa!
I like the color of her outfit. I mentioned that to the girls as we were watching it.
Give a fuck about her outfit.
Her hair, that looked good too, but I like the change of her outfit itself. I don't know, I liked it. Okay. I'm not saying that their hair was bad. I agree with you. Plus, the color of her outfit stuff.
We weren't talking about her hair. Okay, SmackDown Live.
Well, 2 out of 3 falls for the tag titles at the Rumble.
Okay.
Shush.
I'm down.
Everybody's doing it to you now.
I'm down with the shush. That's pretty cool. I'm glad that Gable has another weird, quirky, dorky, adorable thing that he's gonna do. That's what happened with him and Jason Jordan in NXT. Mm-hmm. That's what happened with them on the main roster. Now that he's with Shelton Benjamin, you got to find something. And you know what?
Because he ain't going to find it from Benjamin.
Yeah.
I don't know. Benjamin healing it up was pretty cool, too.
Shelton B ain't nobody to be trifling with.
Yeah, yeah.
He's got
stitches wrong where he's going.
Yeah, he's got stitches. 20 years, right?
Yeah. So I'm optimistic about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of wrestling going on in that match. It's going to happen, man.
Ryder ain't hype.
Oh, God, no.
I said this before.
Shitty fucking music.
Was it the Patriots theme?
No, it was just bad music that Mojo came out to. It was just, that's not good music, man. The one cool thing, he was like, ding, 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 to the beat. But, like, he looked like a fucking reject from Jersey Shore doing that shit. You know, it looked fucking terrible.
That's kind of his gimmick.
Yeah, I know. And then that was Zack Ryder's original gimmick.
Yeah.
And then he did the fucking three-point stance and run to the thing. And then he winded as fuck by the time he gets to the fucking ring and does a ring run. The rope run. I was like, oh, God. He's like, I need to go to commercial break. Yeah, dude, that was terrible. The match sucked. I don't even remember how. I think he punched him in the face to win. I don't remember how he won.
Yeah,
and yeah,
he's losing to Bobby Roode.
And then, and then Bobby Roode came out and stared down. So yeah, that's interesting.
It's gonna be Bobby versus Ginger, and Ginger's gonna win.
Yeah. Yes. Now I'm on board. That's what he should have done backwards.
Mm-hmm.
How about Rusev Day losing to Breezango?
On.
Damn it.
No, that should have happened. It's all right. You're torn because, hey, man, Breezango has been getting shit on after getting over by themselves with all these fucking fashion files. And yeah,
and it's all now relegated to YouTube.
Yeah. And then
Ascension got killed.
Yeah.
So you figured they were going to join them in the grave, but apparently Breezango found the way out.
They rolled up Victory just the way Titus did.
Yeah.
Also, another note, Riott got beat by Becky. Freaking Sasha made Mandy Rose tap out. So those factions are just already.
Both of them?
Yeah. But they both have shirts.
Yeah. Whatever.
They both have shirts. So they made a shirt for each of the girls. So anybody else would buy it? No.
Probably no. That new Paige shirt looks pretty badass, actually. I wouldn't buy it, but it looks pretty cool.
Oh, you were noticing the shirt? Because I was noticing something else.
Yeah.
How about the main event? 3-on-2 handicap match.
Oh.
Three faces and then Sammy and Kevin.
Shane McMahon just trying to wave his big dick around all the whole fucking goddamn match.
Dude, he's white.
Yeah, I know. Wave his fucking thin dick around all over the fucking
thin dick.
All over the goddamn fucking match. Hey, they get counted. Oh, no, you can't get counted out. Oh, okay, we're making it up to whose line it is anyway. Okay, cool. disqualified. Hey, you can't get disqualified either. Oh, well, fuck me. That's whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever, man. It was a decent match, but the shenanigans or whatever. The main thing that I'm taking away from SmackDown in general is the tension between Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon.
You know what? Fuck Shane McMahon. That's kind of how I feel right now. Because you're right. Yeah. Moving the goalposts, it's like, come on.
Yeah.
And you know what? Going back to Shelton Benjamin, he kind of had a point. Especially when D-Bry was like, well, the referee is just final. It's like, yeah,
exactly.
The referee is final. And that's what happened. But, man, I don't know. Like, I'm not digging the way they're working this whole I don't mean to say the authority, but the authority figures here. Because it's just not making them look good. And they're supposed to be the baby faces, but they're not. Like, with the changing of the fucking goalposts there, I kind of feel like it's how it is at our fucking job.
where it's like, oh, wait, you did great on sales, but you didn't do good on collections. Mm-hmm. But you did great on collections, but you didn't do good on this. Yeah. And it's like, okay, you make one and then you don't make the other. And it's like, oh, well, you don't get disqualified. Well, yeah, you get counted out. You don't get counted out. It's like, ah, goddamn, it just feels like a shitty boss.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he's doing. And we're supposed to cheer for this guy.
Yeah. You can email humanresourcesadvantage.com for these two so they can learn their lesson.
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know.
Mr. Company Man over here. Oh, you're
shit. Oh, fuck. You're man, fighting with we don't have enough podcasts to talk about my company. Bitch. That's it for SmackDown.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to ask you something, Arnold. You said that you wanted your match of the week to be the match from Raw, right?
No. That's a match of the week candidate.
Okay, that's your candidate. Yeah. What is our match of the week?
I was just about to come back around to that.
Okay.
What is our match of the week?
Man, I think by default, I kind of have to go.
Don't say default.
By default,
don't make a derogatory statement to a match just because you haven't watched everything else.
Here, you know what this feels like? You kind of watch football. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl this year?
Patriots.
There you go. Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho's match of the week.
Yeah. I mean,
because nothing else had a chance. And it's not that they weren't good, because they were good. Mm-hmm. Now, Cody and Rush is right here with it to me. Mm-hmm. It's like,
and for me, that four way is right there too.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just like, man, none of them checked off all the fucking things you wanted for the match. And what I failed to mention when I was on, because I was worried.
Match really that you wanted.
Yeah, yeah,
to watch.
Yeah, exactly. I was worried about this match. Like, man, what if they fail? Like, I was like, damn, what if
you're not the only one?
Yeah, like, what if they fucking fail? What if they don't have a good match? What if it's boring? What if they just, what if one gets, man, fuck, man, this is kind of like, you know, the litmus test, you know what I mean? It's like, man, this is, we're gonna fucking see you. And then bam, pass the flying colors. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really, really happy. And I don't know how premature you guys do this, but I'm already wanting to throw this as the first match of the year candidate.
Well, I mean, last year we had two match of the years come out of WrestleMania.
The last 2 years we've had WrestleMania matches on as match of the year.
So I'm
we had Nakamura versus AJ the year before, and then before that we had Nakamura versus Ibushi as our match on our match of the year list.
Yeah.
So it feels like almost like happenstance that we do it every year. The only thing was we all had some high praises about several matches on this pay-per-view.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But your match of the week pick is Omega versus Alpha. What's your match of the week pick?
You know, I said that if you guys wanted to make the argument to say it would be the four-way, then I would have agreed with you. But if we're not making that argument and it was just me where I'm saying that that's like 1B
just go with your gut.
To 1A, I would say 1A by default. But, and I'm going to say that because that's how I feel about it. Jericho versus Omega.
It was just that much better.
Okay.
Joseph Christopher?
Well, by default, because no other matches come up to the level and don't have enough story. I don't know.
That's why I think this match is there. It's because of the story coming out of it and the it's not necessary between the belts. If you want to really go between the belts, I'd say
versus Ibushi.
Okay.
But just for all everything made in a perfect cake. Yeah.
Like, if I'm looking forward to December 31st, I think if we're looking at December 31st, man, that Jericho match with Omega, that had a lot of fucking repercussions. Mm-hmm. And that's what I sat here and bitched about when we went over our 2017 match of the year list. No, what had repercussions, what didn't, what did it. Yeah. This is going to have a lot of repercussions, but it may not be the best matchup we'll see all year.
Yeah.
So
the problem is,
okay,
if you guys decide to put this match on the match of the year list, and then come December, we have the same argument that Arnold had last year, where, why is this match on the list? Because there were two or three other matches on this pay-per-view that I thought were way better bell to bell than that. Okay. Bell to bell, not before. Match.
Yeah.
Bell to bell. That there's better stuff on the card than that. Why is this here?
Yeah.
That's why I'm asking you, your gut feeling. What do you think is the best match of the week? Your gut. If you really think from bell to bell is the four way, that's your honest opinion. Make it your pick.
Wrap it up with both. Belt to belt, and if you want
to, that's where I'm trying to go with.
Yeah.
And so I'll have to go. If I'm looking at it that way, we're wrapping it with both Jericho and Omega.
Okay. Same.
What about you, Joseph Shit's Christopher?
Fucking obvious, man. My pick is Naito versus Okada.
Oh, whoa.
Really?
Fuck no. Oh, okay. Alpha versus Omega.
Yeah,
okay.
Dude, shit.
That was, yeah.
Okay, so if we all agree it's our match of the week, I mean, match of the year, yes or no, or are we all just going to go say yes? Okay, boom. It's on our match of the year list. First entrant to our match
of the year. It kind of feels like we have to now, because it's 4 years in a row that the same event has one match of the match of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this one potentially could have had three.
So. Yeah, I mean, it could have.
Like, if you watched one and you watched the other.
Yeah.
Dick.
Yeah. Well, what about you? How do you feel about those other two matches that me and Arnold are quibbling over?
It's awesome in the moment watching it, but there was so much going on in the Fatal 4-Way that there wasn't much for you to remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are the problems. That's imagine. The same issue with the Young Buck stuff. I can see why people don't like the Young Buck matches, because there's so much that goes on and sometimes they do the same stuff.
Yeah.
In that moment, those 15 or 20 minutes that you're watching it, it's cool, but what do you remember from it?
Okay.
You know, at least one
Meltzer drivers.
Yeah. So I would have to say that it's Jericho versus Omega. But the dark horse factor of Ibushi versus Cody that was up there for me, because there was story there.
The night before when he told me that that was going to be the match, remember we ran on the card and I was like, ooh, I can't wait
to honestly watch that match would have been and it sucks because again, that your situation's about before and after. Dude, if Dalton Castle hadn't beaten Cody Rhodes at Final Battle for the belt, imagine Kota Ibushi right now as your Ring of Honor champion.
That'd be interesting.
Fuck. But yeah.
That'd be interesting.
It's Kenny Omega versus Chris Jericho. Yeah. So that's our first match on our match of the year list. 4 years in a row for Wrestle Kingdom.
Nice.
That just shows.
Anything else?
Christy, hand me a
Quadruplets.
There you go. Sorry.
Four. Five.
Not five. Yeah, four. Yeah, four little babies to take home.
Yeah.
Congratulations, sir. That's pretty cool.
Samoa Joe's a Transformer.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be Predaking. So
what if he's not injured, but he's going off to do Transformer stuff?
No, that's a voice acting. It shouldn't take that long. Okay. It's not the first time he's done voice acting either.
That's why it's not a serious injury. He hurt his foot. He'll be gone 3 weeks.
He did some voice for Dota video game. And Telltale's Game of Thrones. So he's got voice acting experience.
Yeah.
And just hearing that grazily, angry and upset.
I was saying, after that match, that fucking promo was like, hell yeah.
Yeah. And the person his voice is actually going to be for Predaking. So this whole Transformers story has been about the combiners, the Transformers that combine together to form one big one. Well, there's a race of Transformers called Predakings. They're like half animals, half
Beast Wars?
Beasts. No. Past that.
Oh.
But when these Predacons combine, they form Predaking. And Joe being menacing, having that graspily voice, I'm very interested to see it. Because this is from Machinima, so this is an adult Transformers. This isn't for kids.
All right.
So this they get into it. So, yeah. Hi. 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 Bye. Anything else? ROW, are we getting a guest or something?
We get a couple of them. This is this Saturday coming up, right?
Is it this Saturday?
This Saturday we have a show with MVP and Sonny Ono are the guests.
MVP and Sonny
Ono. Sonny Ono.
Shaw Guerrero, too.
On February 13th.
Oh, that's the
Shaw Guerrero.
February 13th.
That's the ladies. What?
Everybody's looking slightly to the left. That's Megan Abel. Kind
of
happy.
The gorgeous ladies of ROW.
Grow.
Find a way to make it grow.
Well, this Saturday is also DZW Katie. So yeah.
Oh yeah, slurp up your own company.
Yeah.
You actually.
What's going on?
We're having a show.
Who's wrestling?
I don't know.
Fuck ROW.
Come on, man. I don't know the card. We're wrestling. I know.
God damn it.
Dave Duperron's recent heel turn. Might have something to do with that.
A heel?
Yeah.
I don't like him.
He turned on the chest club.
Who's Hambone facing?
Why? Because he's more of a checkers guy?
I guess. I don't know.
Dick.
I don't know. We'll see. So I guess the fallout of Duperron turning his back on everybody will be the thing front and center. Unless we want to, you know.
That one taping you did, when's that coming out?
The next taping will be the 27th.
No. The one taping you did a couple weeks ago, when's that coming out?
We don't know. Well, actually, I don't think that
you're going to be out of two jobs.
I don't think we have anything in the can that's going to be released right now.
Oh, okay.
So the next thing that is going to be released should be the thing at the end of this month.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Sweet.
TASW is actually having a show at the old Cypress.
Well, that's where they always have their shows now. They've taken over to that that venue.
Your dude, Big Daddy Yum Yum's coming back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Nice to see Big Daddy Yum Yum. Randy loves Big Daddy Yum Yum.
Who doesn't?
Hymus Thing's doing a show.
Yeah, RWR.
Yeah,
RWR. They're doing something.
He's been hyping the shit out of it, but I haven't, you know.
What's the thing that we used to say around here? Support good indie wrestling?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why, you know. No DZW, no ROW.
Oh, this guy.
No, RWR.
Dick.
How about that?
What's the next time Doomsday's having a show? Do we know?
That's not even real.
None of it's real. It's wrestling.
Did you not watch Wrestle Kingdom?
It's still
real him. God damn it.
That's it. Let's go.
All right.
I need donuts.
Everybody joining us, thank you so much. Man, we still have Robert and Nasty Nathan here. So they're talking something about Ziggler selling popcorn in the stands, apparently.
What, really?
Yeah,
can't be worse than selling cell phones.
Or your Val Venus selling pot.
It's legal half the country.
It's
just waiting for it to be legal in Texas.
Yeah.
All right.
What's wrong with that?
From the ground, safe and sound, right?
I guess so. Adios, my friends.
Goodbye and good night.
Namaste.